Pastor Buddy, welcome with Pastor Andy and your group. And I noticed that some of your people are from Seattle. Maybe that's the reason you picked this group, because they have a Seattle origin. So in the future, when they come back and plant a church here on campus, right? Yeah, welcome everybody. Well, today's message is a continuation of the topic that from 2 weeks ago. Now, you remember 2 weeks ago, if you were here, that we read from Genesis 2:15. It says, the purpose of God putting Adam in the Garden of Eden is for what? It's for him to work and to take care of it, right? So, you remember Genesis 2 is before Genesis 3, which means it's before the fall of human beings. Before even the sin come into the world, we are called to work. So it's ordained by God, every one of us, to work. We are not here to get to believe in Jesus, come into this fellowship, and we're going to enjoy this heaven-like type of the breathing. And we don't have to work. No, there is a purpose of our life. From the very beginning, even before the sin enter into the world, we are called to work. So there's a purpose there. Today we're going to, learn some more about that purpose from this key verse from Exodus 8:1. Can we all turn to that chapter? Okay, I don't know what kind of version of Bible you have. I have with me right now here two different versions. And you know what? These verses 8:1. It's practically can summarize the whole book of Exodus. What does Exodus mean? Or what does the book of Exodus mean to us? You can get a picture just from reading this verse. Let me read it from you first, from NIV version. Okay, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh. Did I have mic on or not? Okay. And say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. There is a purpose of Moses coming to see Pharaoh. It is to set God's people free from the bondage, right? And what's the point of setting people free? There is a purpose to so that my people can worship me. And this verse doesn't appear here the first time, okay? I have a note here. This verse, or this key words, appears in chapter 3, verse 12 and 18. And also appears in chapter 4, 23. And before chapter 8, in chapter 7, 16. That's again. And later on, in chapter 8, 20, and also chapter 9, 1, and 13. There's a repetition here. And the same message that my people has to be let go. They have to be set free so that they can worship me. So, you know, how many years that God's people have been enslaved there in Egypt? A couple hundred years already, right? And then, well, the Pharaoh will let them go easily? No, the Pharaoh set out of a condition so that Moses has to confront that. But you know what? When Moses was told by God to say that this word to Pharaoh, he immediately confronted with Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the ruler of this world. And people, remember, has been enslaved under the rule of this Pharaoh for 400 years. And somehow, maybe they already get used to it. They never know the meaning of freedom before. You know, if you ever go to the zoo and see those animals in the cage, you know, and they, that's all they know about. You know, they are in that small cage. And they don't know how to hunt, you know. So, you know, if you go go to the zoo and see a lion, if you set that lion free and put it in the wilderness, probably he could die. He doesn't know how to feed himself. There's a purpose of setting God's people free. You know, Moses, when he was told to confront Pharaoh, just like Jesus was to die for us, there's a purpose. And we have to understand that. Why Jesus has to die for us? Why his blood has to be shed? Why our sin has to be forgiven? Sometimes we are so used to, in this secular world, we are just like those enslaved Israelites. Had never tasted the freedom before, ever in their life. We don't know about the grace of God. We don't know, we don't even know about the future. We are so used to this secular world. So Moses is not just with a test of confronting that ruler. He also has to convince his people that you need to go, right? They don't want to go. And they, after they leave Egypt, they start complaining about all those, you know, difficulty. And, but this is the task that Moses was asked, to ask the Pharaoh to set my people free. Jesus is that Moses in that time. We believe in Jesus. What's the purpose of our believing in Jesus? Have you noticed the enslavement, the end, the spirit free type of situation? When you put your trust in Jesus, when you become a Christian, you are coming from out from the darkness and enter into the light. Have you noticed that difference? Maybe you didn't. Not much difference. So you are not, you don't have that. You're just like the Israel people at that time. You don't sense the need of being, has to be set free. The bondage of enslavement at that time is the bondage of sin. Enslavement of sin at this time. We have to know there's a need here. We are set free for a purpose. But we are so used to it. You don't see the needs to get baptized. You don't see the need. What's the difference? Maybe the motivation for you coming to the church or coming to the fellowship group or comes see God's help, it's because you are in some kind of difficulty. So you are here seeking for the help from God. You are seeking for the providence. You are seeking for the protection. You are seeking for the bracing. But you are not here seeking for the forgiveness of sins. You don't realize that you are enslaved by sin. But we need to. And then, so here, it will let my people go. This verse means not just let my people go. It's out of slavery, out of enslavement. Can you all turn to one scripture with me, Galatians 5:1? So we can compare it with a teaching from the New Testament. Book of Galatians 5:1. Again, I'm reading from NIV. Okay, have you turned your Bible to Galatians 5:1? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by yoke of slavery. See, why Jesus has to set us free? We were set free. We don't want to go back to slavery again. You know, you feel there's a need. Somehow you just, there's a God, with God's grace, some needs maybe drive us to seek for God's forgiveness. So we come to the church and we were so touched by the brother and sister's love and we believe in Jesus. Then when you go back to your job, your school, and you look around and you see, well, this is, what's the difference now? Because you don't feel the forgiving those sins. And so you get back to your job, get back to your school, and you say, well, there's not much difference. A lot of Christians, they come to church on Sunday doing one thing, and then we get back to their secular world and doing another thing. See, you are called to be out of slavery, but you are putting yourself back into that sin bondage again. Value system. Well, I don't know about you, when you guys are walking, what is the purpose of your walking? Why you are doing that? Just 2 weeks ago, we were talking about we are all called to work. What is the meaning of work? What do you, why you make yourself the purpose of your job? To make him more money? Or to seek for a security in your life? Or the meaning, accomplishment of your life? You have to know it. But does that godly purpose? And so sometimes you become a Christian for a long, long time, but you still are walking just like a Gentile. Whatever the people in this world are looking for, seeking as their personal life goal, you are doing the same thing. Your God exists only on Sunday morning. From Monday to Saturday, you are worshiping another God. You are worshiping this secular value system. And Christian life becomes a fragment. You know, we are divided in our mind. Pretty much like on Sunday, we are free in spirit to worship God here as a born-again Christian. But on Monday to Saturday, you are back into the in slavery of sins. This is not the purpose of us being called out of Egypt or we are called out to serve the Lord. How can we accomplish that? Let me give you, you don't have to look for other things for the guidance. Just look at yourself. Well, you being yourself, what's the purpose of your life? How can I serve God? You know, I'm just an engineer. When I come to the church, they don't need engineer here. You know, how can I serve God here at the church? Everyone was a gift with a special talents. And you all have talent received from the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to use your talents to serve him. When you are using your talent to serve your God in your everyday world, everyday life, you are serving our God. Not necessarily has to come to a church serving as a full-time minister or something. Every single day of our life should be under God's grace, utilize all our gifts to serve our Lord. Don't let yourself get back to those watery value system. You know, let's continue living in the bondage of sin. We are set free. Okay? We don't want to get back to the enslavement, just like what Galatians 5:1 has warned us. So we have to make sure. Are you born again? You know, are you still right now under the bondage of sin? Then we need to ask for the forgiveness. God will help us and set us free. Don't go back to that sinful life again. You know, when Israel people, they leave Egypt, they are facing many difficulties. We all know that. So they start complaining about it. So how many years they had to spend wandering around in that wilderness all their life. I don't want us to be a cushion when we are still young in age. But we spend our whole life waste not worshiping God. We just come every Sunday to the church with a regret that we didn't honor our God, you know, in our work days. I don't want us to be like that. We are set free, and we are free forever. Free from the control of Pharaoh. Free from the control of sin. And that's something that we need to be aware. We need to ask for the forgiveness of sin so we can be really set free. And then we want to live under the control of the Holy Spirit, not under the control of this sinful world value system. Okay, then let's go back to that Exodus 8. Let's read carefully the second part of that verse 8:1. Exodus 8:1. The second part of that verse says, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they may worship me. Okay, that word worship, about, in the Hebrew, you know, this is difficult. This is a difficult word study here, okay? This word, I don't know what kind of version of Bible you have. I have with me here is the English Standard Version. Let me read for you how it translates that verse. Reading from ESV, it says, let my people go so they may serve me. What's going on here? Worship and serve. And, you know, this word, abad, in the Hebrew, it has it's from the root. The root of this word means work. That's the reason I say this is a continuum teaching from 2 weeks ago. We are called to work. This abad means work. I mean, the root meaning. Sometimes it was translated to worship. This worship, as NIV has set an example, NIV translates to worship. But it also includes the meaning of serve. And you can read from, like this one, ESV or King James. Let me read you from King James. From King James Version, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, let they may serve me. And also from that ISV, Revised Standard Version, then the Lord said to Moses, go in Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. So what does that mean? We are not called to come to the Sunday service and to worship God only. We are called to serve him. You can say these two are interchangeable, pliable. You know, we serve just like we are praising the Lord. We are praising the Lord. We are worshiping our Lord with our service. And so we are called not just to be set free. We are called to be free to serve our Lord. This is the purpose of our life. So that we have to be aware. We are set free not to do whatever we want. We are set free so that we can do whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Let me share with you another scripture. Again, let's compare with the teaching from the New Testament on this topic. Romans 12. Can you all turn to Romans 12, verse 1 with me? Okay, Romans 12, verse 1. Let me read from NIV first. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. That spiritual act of worship, if you look at those notes down in the bottom, I don't know if you have that in your note in your Bible, look down to it. It can be translate also to be a not spiritual act of worship, but reasonable worship. Okay, and then if you look at the ESV version like me have here, and oh, man, I'm juggling around with this. It says a rational service. So worship, including the meaning of service. So while we are called out of the bondage of sin, and we need to dedicate ourselves, sacrifice our body as a living sacrifice, this is a worship to God. This is our service to Him. So we are called to be Christians, not to do whatever we want, but we are called to do whatever the Holy Spirit guides us to do. Again, you don't need to look to others for any guidance. Just look at yourself. We are all special. We are all have special gift from our Lord. And you need to let your gift be used, and you can serve your God, even in your job, in your family, taking care of your kids, taking care of your colleagues, taking care of your boss, taking care of your customer, using your gifts. And so God can be manifest through your daily service. That is the true meaning of worship. And we are called to do that. And he also say it's a reasonable, which means it's a reasonable request. Why it is reasonable? Because God has paid the price for us. God set us free. And this is a consequence, or you should say the reward of being free, is that we don't have to be enslaved by sin and serving those sinful desires. We are called, we are set free, so we can serve our God with everything that God has given to us. That is the purpose of our life. So you don't want to live a life with a divided mind. Like on from Monday and to Friday or Saturday, you are working just for your schoolwork, working for your job, and doing something that you don't like, and you think this is meaningless. And when you go to come on Sunday, come to the church, you come with, well, you become a different person. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to come, wake up, and every day is just like a worship to God. Every day you are serving God. We are called to be like that. If you don't do that, we are just like those Israel people. We are weakness, putting ourselves back into the control of that fellow. We are put ourselves back into the enslavement of sin. Don't let the world, this world system, teach you anything other than what we have received from the scripture. And this is the purpose of our life. And so many people has to learn this in the hard way when they are getting old and say, oh, all my life in the past is a waste. I don't want us to do that. You know? And we are free. We are free to choose God. We are free to choose holiness. We are free to honor our God. You say, I have to listen to my boss. No! You are free to honor with your God in your job. Just take care of whatever that you see is difficult. That usually is the key. We are set free so that we can dedicate ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And this is a reasonable request from our Lord. He paid for our price. He paid the price for us to save us. And that's the only reason He saves us, so that we can worship Him. I cannot give you any concrete example because we are all from many different backgrounds, different ages, different needs. But you need to find out why God put you in Berkeley. Why God put you in Boeing, in some kind of company. Or why God put you in some difficult situation. There always has a meaning there. And if you figure it out, apply whatever you learn from the scripture into your life. We have to dedicate all aspects of our life, leave no room in our heart, not to God. God has to be in control of every aspect of our life. If God is not in control, sin is in control. We don't want to get back to that. When we get out of sin, we want to have nothing to do with that anymore. Every day. I think that's the message that we can learn from this Exodus 8:1. Look at the consequence of those Israelite people. Did they catch the lessons? That's the reason the whole book of Exodus is about God's people struggling with this. See, when God asked Moses to go to talk to Pharaoh, he made it very clear the how and the purpose of his doing that. Pharaoh didn't get it, so he has to be punished, right? God's people didn't get it either, so they're not able to enter into the promised land. We don't want us to be a halfway type of Christian. If you be a Christian, be 100% Christian. If you are set free from your sin, you want to be totally free from your sin, right? You don't want to be just half the way. You don't want to stay your one foot in this world, secular world, and stay another foot on the spiritual world. No Christian can survive that. If you try it, then I promise you, when you're getting older, you're going to regret it. Our security is not on how much wealth, how much money you made. Our security is on the God who provides everything. Your meaning, accomplishment from your job, from your life, is not whatever you achieve. It's the meaning of your meaningness is that you discover what God has given you and you honor God on that. That's all we need. So I just want to, you know, encourage one another, including myself, that we are all blessed and we are all set free from the bondage of sin. Now, my renewal life won't be, I don't want to be go back to my old self. My renewal life will worship God, will serve God in all aspects of our life. And this is the purpose of God calling you to be His people. Let's pray. Father, I have to thank you for you choose us. You save us. We want to give thanks to you. This is the grace we receive from you. But there are so many people that haven't tasted that freedom from the sin of bondage. So they are suffering in many kind of difficulty. I just pray that we are not just here to enjoy our freedom. We also want to be used by you to share your grace with others, that many more will get to know you. And we will realize that we are enslaved by all those bodily desires, which is the cause of our suffering. That when we put our trust in you, then we will be set free. And we can be a new person. And we can have a free spirit to do whatever that honors you. So people's influence on us won't hinder us from getting closer to you. I just pray for this group of people. They put their trust in you when they are still young. I just pray that, God, you're going to open their eye to see whatever you have set as the purpose of their life. That they will know how to serve you in a personal way. That every one of them will know This is the path. This is the way that God designed me to go. And so they will be faithfully obedient to your calling. And they will be filled with happiness, peace, and joy from you when they are serving you in their life. I thank you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.